Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us on Simply Jewel Atypical Podcast, where we talk about life struggles, encompassing health, wellness, and alternative approaches to medicine naturally. Your host is Simply Jewel. So let's get ready to heal the mind, body, and soul. She's atypical of the average. SimplyJewel.com.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing fair to Midland, as they used to say in Midland, Texas. No, I'm doing fine, Jewel. How are you?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Another Tuesday we've never seen before. So everybody, looks like we're going to be, I told you Dr. D was coming back. And so for all the listeners, please make sure that you share this one out. Like I said, this is another Tuesday that we've never seen before. So I'm feeling pretty good today. Just moving forward, we've got some new things coming up. And it looks like we're creating a series here, Dr. D. We've been talking about your book. We've been letting the listeners hear the excerpts of your book. You guys make sure you get it off of Amazon. It's called
It's Notes from a Broken Heart.
And she also has the blog. Excuse me. So we'll put that in the description box. So let's just keep going, shall we? We were talking about how are we going to do this. We're going to introduce you guys to patreon.com, where we're giving you a little bit of what we're going to be doing on that platform. Make sure you go to Patreon and read all about it. But tonight, let's talk about aspects of grieving and your experience, Dr. D, since we're talking about your book, the purpose for your book, and one of the stages, I guess we can say, was anger, and how you dealt with anger. And let's just start from the top. You know, it took you some time to realize, and I'll let you go from there.
Okay. And it was a difficult journey. For those of you who don't know, I had two daughters. My younger of two daughters, Courtney, died suddenly on April 9th, 6 years ago. And when I say 6 years ago, some of you may think, well, my goodness, it's been 6 years. Why is she still talking about it? Well, I'm still talking about it because it's my premise that grieving never ends. We never finish grieving. We can't look at grieving as a traditional having a beginning, a middle, and an end, because that's just not the way it works. So what had happened was I went into a downward spiral that a friend of mine, Sherry, recognized, thank goodness. And she had asked me, in fact, the night before Courtney died, what I was going to do with my writing, my writing ability or my writing skills. And I said, oh, I don't know. I'll continue writing proposals and doing curriculum development and all of that. And we let it go at that. Well, then Courtney died suddenly. And I just lost it, and that's putting it mildly. I lost it. I went into a deep depression. In fact, I was going through some of the dimensions or stages, if you want to call it, or things that happen, if you want to call it, of grief. There's shock, there's denial, there's anger, there's bargaining, there's a lot of other things that each one of us can name, but not all of us share. But shock, anger are two of the most prominent manifestations of grieving. And so Sherry came over and she said, I don't care what you do with this, but I'm going to show you how to blog. And so we came upstairs to my office. She sat me down at the computer. I had a notepad on my left-hand side, and she took me through a very comprehensive tutorial on blogging. She had also gotten me a blog address and had done all of those things that you do to begin blogging. So I didn't do anything with it that day, and I probably didn't do anything with it for some weeks. But one day I came back into the office, sat down at the computer and thought, well, let me see if I remember any of the things that Sherry told me. Turns out I had, and I sat down, Jewel, and the words came. They came almost like a flood. And I wrote and wrote and wrote, and when I was finished, I stopped because the words stopped.
Wow. And so you were mentioning...
Excuse me, I thought I had turned my phone off. Well, I'll do it now. Okay, I'm sorry. I shut it off. Oh. Okay.
Okay. And so you were talking about the anger. Were you writing because you were angry? Or is that just one of the stages you were in? Like, where did the anger come from? Or where did you feel? I'm trying to figure out how to ask the question.
Let me answer it, because I understand what you're asking. When I say there are phases or stages or aspects of grief, there are some that all of us experience when someone dies or we suffer a loss. The anger, the shock is what comes first, because it's so unexpected. Even if you have a relative who's been in the hospital for 3 months, when that person transitions, you're shocked because you didn't know it would be that day. Now, the anger comes when you realize, or when I realized, how powerless I was to have prevented it. See, we like to feel that we have power, and we're told that we have power, especially when it comes to buying things online and all of that. But we really don't have power. Only God has the power of life and death. So, who do I blame? I didn't want to blame me, and I really didn't have to blame me, because Courtney and I had a beautiful relationship. In fact, she had taken me to the doctor the Friday before the Sunday morning she died. I was angry, didn't know it. And many of us who have learned to repress our feelings are carrying around anger because of unresolved grief. What happened? Can't just sit there like a bump on a log. And so then we start looking around for someone to blame. Now, I grew up in a very, quote, religious, end quote, family. I think my people were more spiritual than religious, but at any rate, I grew up hearing things like, God doesn't make any mistakes. You know, when my grandmother died or when a neighbor died and all of that, that was in me. That was just part of what I knew, and I put new in quotes. So it happened. How did it happen? Why did it happen? Who let it happen? And when you don't have answers, you get angry, whether you realize it or not. And that's where I was. It wasn't until, oh my goodness, 3 or 4 years later, that the pastor of my church, one Sunday when she was praying and had us repeating what she was saying, said something about being angry at God. And it shocked me. I'm thinking, this is a minister, and she's saying, I can be angry at God? Well, yes, that's exactly what she said. And yes, she's totally right. And I learned that as I began to study scripture, study the stories that are in the Bible, and realize, yes, it's a human emotion. And it's a human emotion that God placed in us. Now, how we use that emotion is a different thing.
Okay, now, there you go. So a human emotion, and we all have human emotions because we're human.
Right.
And so, yes, go ahead.
Absolutely. So here I was, and the very first blog that I wrote was about a former sister-in-law. We lived probably 2 miles apart. We probably saw each other once or twice a year at the grocery store. But you know, as happens with some divorces, when you divorce him, you divorce his family. When he divorces you, he divorces your family. So it was that kind of thing. However, she had died no more than 5 weeks before Courtney did. And Courtney, Tracy, and I had been with her daughters, consoling them. Her daughters live in Texas, but consoling them about the loss of their mom. And so now here I am. And it took me that long to remember that Anne had died. But she's the one I wrote about on the blog. Well, I'm still angry. I was angry then. And the anger comes back even now, 6 years later. So what do you do with that anger? Well, I had to acknowledge it. I had to acknowledge. And I talk to God all the time, and I said to God, I'm mad at you. How could you allow this to happen? There's so many horrible people in this world, a lot of them on my street. And you let Courtney die? And it's something I had to grapple with. I also began studying grief. I would go to used bookstores, I would go to the library, I would get online and try and learn as much as I could, because I couldn't understand the cessation of life, and especially in the way that it had happened with Courtney. I finally understood also that an aspect, a dimension of grief is forgiving. We have to forgive. Jesus said on the cross to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, thank goodness there's only one Jesus, because there's no way in the world I could say, to my earthly father, and certainly not to my heavenly father, to forgive my accusers, to forgive my killers. And so we grow up in a society where we're told it's hard to forgive. Girl, you have to work at it to forgive. I mean, when you think of what people do to you and how they get away with it, and no, I can't turn the other cheek, or I can forgive but not forget. I can't forget it. If I forget it, I might fall into that trap again. We do a lot of self-talking, by the way. And so we talk ourselves into believing the lies or the misstatements that people make about forgiving.
Right. And that's something that we can talk about too, the forgiveness. What is the forgiveness, and how people don't realize when you don't forgive, it makes you sick.
It
brings on disease. It brings on diagnosis, stress. Stress will kill you.
Yeah.
But when you don't know how to forgive, or you choose not to forgive, it can bring on a lot of sickness.
I believe that it's because we don't know how to forgive. We really don't. Have you ever, or did you ever, when you were in school, have a class on grief?
Yes.
You did?
In college I did, because I'm nursing.
Okay.
So yes, it's a whole class on grieving.
I'm talking about elementary, high school, undergrad. There aren't any classes in the curriculum on grieving. Just until very recently, there weren't that many classes on learning how to listen.
But see, that's the thing. That's the problem I have with this world. Maybe it's because my parents were more mature and my mom was in a psych nurse. That's something that we were introduced to. That's something that she talked to us about. So I consider myself fortunate, because grieving, because she talked to us about it, and she said death is a part of living. And then she would also say, what are you gonna do when I'm dead and gone? And so we always had a conversation. Now, what I will say is everyone doesn't receive it that way, because some people, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about insurance. They don't want to talk about what's going to happen if something happens to them. They don't want to talk about burial. They just don't want to talk about it. But for my mom to introduce a conversation, and a little at a time. We heard this when we were in junior high school, and then we heard it in high school. So I just have to say we were fortunate. But right, no, I didn't know. I don't remember anybody talking about death and dying in junior high or high school.
Well,
but I'm thankful my mom did.
Let me say two things. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, a European, did the seminal work on grieving as she studied people at the end stages of their lives. But I'll tell you very quickly why people don't talk about grief and loss. We don't talk about grief and loss because we don't know how, and we fear. Fear is what stops us from talking about a lot of things, but certainly about grieving. I've read history of grievings of different cultures or in different countries. And I can even remember growing up when my grandmother and mother would wear black clothes for a year after someone significant in their family died as a sign of respect.
Mm-hmm.
But that was back then, and I mean, that was back in the day. We don't know
right.
how to, we feel uncomfortable. Yes, if you work, you can get anywhere from 3 to 7 days off with pay. But after you get back and you've been back a while, if you're moping around or if you burst into tears unexpectedly from you or anybody, other people, people get uncomfortable around you. They'll start asking,
yeah.
aren't you over that yet? How long has it been? Like there's a time or time frame.
Right.
There is none.
There's no time frame for death and dying. However, what I will say, as we evolve into these years, you know, now 2024, and nowadays people wear black, you know, the fashion industry, they wear black, but people never say anything about that because they accessorize, you know. And then you got the gothic people dressing in black. But I will say this, one thing I could tell coming up is when people wore black, you knew that they were sad. You knew that they were in a dark place. And if you kept watching the same people, like, you know, we knew our neighbors. And so you could tell when people were coming out of their dark places or grieving a loss of a loved one, because then their colors would start getting lighter and lighter. They may have worn black. Now they're wearing, you know, beige, or they're wearing black and white, or they're adding colors with it. So there is some validity to that.
Yeah.
I said all that to say, you know, people are starting to change colors. And now at different funerals, you're starting to see people with color themes like regal purple or blue and white or yellow and white. So, yeah, times have changed, but that's something I think we have to pay attention to, is that we old habits are hard to break. But we are now in a place where knowledge is power, and people don't have to stay in those dark places. There's people, there's support, there's all kinds of things to help people get through their time. Because I'm at the point, sometimes I look at people and I'm like, I don't like pain. I will do anything I can do to be lifted, to be encouraged. Because I always tell people, once you're in that space, don't stay there. Just keep trying to evolve. Keep trying to move forward. Because there's a lesson in the storm. And you had mentioned earlier where you said, you know, you came from a spiritual family and God doesn't make mistakes. And my two cents about that is, do you believe, or do you know that you know that you know? And we all have to at one point realize that our steps are ordered. And so if we trust and believe like we say we do, we can get through anything.
Jewel, I bet you don't know this, but, and maybe you do, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made that assumption. But church, participation in church, going to church, has decreased throughout the United States at a phenomenal rate. People don't go to church anymore. And before I forget, let's put a thumbtack into the fact that there are other kinds of losses than death. But let's get back to it. People don't go to church. So you're speaking from the perspective of someone who grew up in church. I understand it. I did too. And when we were going to church in Illinois, I'm sure we went to Sunday school. Well, they stopped. Most churches have stopped having Sunday school in the Denver metro area. I can count on one hand the number of churches that still have Sunday school classes. Mm-hmm. We don't do that.
No, we don't.
COVID didn't help because it made us bedside churchgoers. We get up and reach over, put it on YouTube, get a service, and never get out of our pajamas. So the fact of the matter is, we are not the Judeo-Christian society that the founding fathers thought they were doing. We're not. So many people don't know so many things. Many people have the Holy Bible on their cocktail table or end table or closet or dining room table or somewhere in the house. But how many of them have ever opened it? Especially if you have the King James Version. And I grew up on the King James Version. That was one of the most difficult Bibles to read, because it was in Middle English, thine and thou and just all kinds of things that would deter you from trying to read anything other than Psalm 23 or maybe Psalm 37 or maybe a couple of scriptures from the New Testament. So people don't know is what I'm saying. And probably the most dangerous illness or sickness is ignorance. If you
know
that you don't know, you are in a heap of trouble.
See, and that again, I have to pay homage to my mom, because we grew up in a time we knew about the King James Version, and of course growing up, and then we went to the NIV, and then my mom used to read this book, Good News to Modern Man.
Okay.
And then she found one for my son when he was a little boy. And so you're right. It's what people are exposed to. And we're definitely going to have to keep talking about this, because I really want to do another segment maybe next week where we talk about participating in church and how it's decreased and other kinds of losses other than death and dying. So how about you come on next week? Participation in church and how it's decreased and other kinds of losses other than death, loss of a job, loss of a friend. How about that?
I'd be happy to. We'd add loss of hope. There are just so many losses that we take for granted. That's just the way the world is. You're always missing something. Well, if you go into the New Testament, you'll read about Jesus and the parables that he talked about the woman who lost something in her house. I don't remember if it was a coin or what, and how she just persevered until she found that coin. And he tells about the shepherd who will leave 99 sheep and go after the one. So, yes, I'd be happy to talk. talk.
Okay, that'll be good. Well, why don't we see if we can find that? And so we'll end it right here. Our time is up. Excuse me, people. And so you have been listening to Simply Jewel Atypical Podcast. Please make sure you come back for part two, and we'll be talking about other kinds of losses other than death, the loss of hope, the loss of friends, the loss of jobs. There's so many losses. So thank you for coming on, Dr. Dorothy. Until next wrap, you have been listening to Simply Jewel Atypical Podcast. Good night, everybody.
Good night.